Hi, this is Pastor Greg, and you're listening to Chosen Generation Radio. Get more at ChosenGenerationRadio.com. That's Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything filtered through biblical glass.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
I thank and praise God for this borewell that God has enabled us to put in this village with the prayer and support of Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Radio Ministry. And by the prayer and support of the Pastor Greg Young and the Chosen Generation Ministry, we could put the borewell in this village for the community. Before, this community was drinking dirty water, and that was really causing a lot of sickness. But now they are getting pure and fresh water, and all the community is so thankful for Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry and all the supporters. And we pray for all of you that God would bless you and God would use you so that we can put more and more borewells in a poor and a needy community, those who are really having a problem of the water. And this is this borewell we have put, and pure and fresh water is coming, and we are so thankful for all of you. Especially we thank to Pastor Greg Young and Chosen Generation Ministry that help us and support us to put the borewell. Thank you. God bless you.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any difference. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear. Even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code ChosenGenRadio. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Any of the products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
Welcome to Chosen Generation with your host, Pastor Greg Young.
But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should shew forth the praises of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy.
And now, Chosen Generation, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. And now, here's your host, Pastor Greg.
This is Adam Mundall with State Air. We need people on radio willing to speak about the Bible, the Constitution, and putting God back in our nation again. So join me in sponsoring Chosen Generation and Pastor Greg. Call him today at 830-446-3624. That's 830-446-3624. This has blessed my business and it will bless yours. Thank you.
And welcome to the program. Great to have you with me. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day. And I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio. Well, let me see now. Got Michael was with us yesterday. There we go. Okay, all set. Thanks so much for tuning in. I do know you have a choice in where you can listen each and every day. And I thank you for keeping it tuned here. Let's see. We've got some good guests lined up for the program today. Also want to let you know, the bottom of next hour, we will be having our India live service. We'll start at the bottom of that hour, and it'll be 8 p.m. in India and 10:30 a.m. Eastern here in the United States. And I'll be teaching pastors there and really talking about the message that they're bringing and the message that we bring, which is the true conversion and transformational power of the cross. What was the difference between Moses and Abram and Saul of Tarsus? And their responses and reactions and backgrounds and understandings of the God that called each one of them. And we'll talk, I'll talk with them and share with them some things out of Scripture about those issues and how those issues can make a difference and an impact in how we minister the gospel. So we'll bring all that to bear. Also coming up, Lipton Matthews is with us. Why are there differences between rich countries and poor countries? And does culture play a role? We'll talk about that. Leslie Manoukian, president and founder of Health Freedom Defense Fund, is going to be with us as well. There, have you seen it? People are wearing masks again. We know they don't work, but we'll put them on anyway. And you know, we're praying for Bronny James, which I think is the Christian thing to do. But LeBron James needs to step up and talk about what happened. And a perfectly healthy 18-year-old, another apparent victim of the mRNA and the vax. And I've had Dr. Peter Bricola, Dr. Judy Mikovits, I've had a number of experts, Dr. Syed Haider, Dr. Brian Hooker, who is an expert in that field of molecular biology, who is also with the Children's Defense Fund, which is the organization founded by Robert Kennedy. It's dangerous. And it's certainly why none of my family has participated with it. All right, but joining me now, he is the managing editor of the Foundation for Economic Education, and I'm pleased that he has joined us. John Miltimore is with us. John, welcome. Good to have you.
Hey, thanks for having me on, Greg. I was running a couple of minutes behind there. I thought it was 8:30, and then I realized it's 8 o'clock.
Hey,
at least in Central Time. I know you're an hour ahead of me.
I'm actually in Central Time. I'm in Texas, man.
Oh, you are. All right, you're here with me then. Central Time all day.
Yeah, bud. You betcha. But everybody's so used to in broadcast thinking East Coast. I don't know. We got to steal that back. Every once in a while, I slip in and I'll say, I'm on from 7 a.m. to 10 a.m. Texas time. You know, it just, you know, what are you going to do?
I'm here. I always just assume people are on Eastern time because that's usually the case.
There you go. Well, hey, it's great to see you. Great to have you. Thank you so much for being with me today.
I appreciate being here.
So there were a couple of things. I know we want to talk about the disability issue and we want to talk about the economics. So we'll jump into that. And then I also saw that you wrote a nice little article defending 2A. And a lot of people don't realize this, but right now, in the NDAA that they're trying to get authorized, they're trying to authorize a portion of that that's going to change definitions of components in guns and essentially make a whole lot of weapons illegal. I got an alert on that from GOA and, you know, made a few phone calls. But a lot of folks don't realize that, John.
No, I mean, that's part of the problem of the world we live in today. It's moving so fast, right? We can't track everything happening, you know, let alone at, you know, you have your local government, you have your state government, and you have the one way out in D.C., and there's too many things going on. You're trying to figure out which ones should you really be concerned about and which stuff, you know we all have, many of us have families, we have busy lives. We shouldn't have to be worrying about stuff like this all the time, but unfortunately, we really do have to be vigilant.
Well, I saw a pretty funny meme about it. A guy was talking about, you know, hey, did you see the big news? yeah, there's aliens. We've discovered that there's aliens. You know, there's aliens. They've got aliens. They got evidence of aliens. Oh, by the way, Hunter Biden. Yeah, he didn't get his deal. But no big deal there. No issue with the presidential Biden crime family. That's kind of like minor news because there's aliens.
Right. Now, it is, you know, I try not to be too cynical about these things, but sometimes you feel like we're being played a little bit when certain things are leaked. And when, you know, I had several people ping me with, you know, messages about that, you know, like, look at these hearings. And I actually kind of want to go and watch them and see what they have. Like the stuff I've looked at so far, like, yeah, there's some fishy stuff here, but government's always hiding things. That doesn't mean that they're hiding proof of aliens. It means that they're hiding, you know, something, but they hide, you know, whenever they can. They overclassify notoriously.
Well, we got to remember, we're in a fight against good and evil, truly, okay? And so, you know, the enemy... There's going to be an antichrist. There's going to be a beast. The revelation is coming alive right in front of us. So wouldn't the antichrist be interested in getting us kind of, you know, creating the idea? Because the demonic's going to show up. Demons are going to show up. These kinds of things are going to get more. Look, when Jesus is walking on the water, you got apostles, and I know this isn't our topic, we'll jump into that, but Jesus is walking on the water, and the first thing they say is, ooh, there's a spirit on the water. Back then, they recognized spirits and good and evil. They talk about demonic, casting out demons, fighting. Jesus says you're going to be able to tread over demons. Well, why would he tell them that if there was no such thing? If they didn't exist and there wasn't any, and they weren't going to encounter any of them, then why would he say you're going to tread over demons? I mean, come on, folks, wake up.
Yeah, no, it is a wild time. And, you know, one of the things... I try not to even worry about it, right? Like, some of this is out of my hands. You live your life every day like he could be coming back tomorrow, and then, you know, that's the best I can do. But yeah, like it's what, when you look at the world today, it feels like a time where it could be happening anytime. I'll say that.
Well, and all the more reason for us to continue to be vigilant. And the things that you're talking about are just, I mean, they are their vigilance. They're part of the vigilance that we have to be engaged in, you know, because scripture is not just spiritual. It's practical. It's pragmatic. It's about how you live your life. And we're just saying, hey, you know what, Mr. Biden, liar, 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 if I read your article right.
Yeah, I mean, you know, looking at the disability claims, like, this is something politicians do, right? Like, politicians by nature are always trying to twist information in their favor. And if you look, you know, there is this big push right now to embrace Bidenomics. What Bidenomics is, you know, different conversation. I think it's more just a catchphrase than any sort of, you know, uniform set of, you know, economic ideas or principles or anything like that. But, you know, we hear the low unemployment rate, you hear 13 million jobs created, and you hear those numbers. When you pull back, you know, look under the hood a little bit, it's not as impressive as, you know, it might seem to people. Most of these jobs are jobs that were simply returning that were lost during the pandemic when the government shut everything down.
A lot of government jobs too, John. I think that's another piece that the people don't realize. We're back under Obama. Yeah. We're under the Obama economics, where the driving engine was you were either hired by the government, or there was government money that was spent with contractors. So again, you're literally working. So the government was the generator of the job, of the job market, period, and private sector was dying on the vine.
No, it's a good point, because not all jobs are created equal. And there's that Milton Friedman quote, you know, like, about job creation. You know, you can have people dig ditches with spoons if you want. That's a job. But that's not creating value of any kind. And there are, like one of the things that fascinated me is, if you look, disability claims are rising at historic highs. We haven't seen growth like this before. We don't know why for sure. And again, there's no doubt many things that are contributing, but there is, you know, some good evidence that people are it's COVID related. A lot of people are you know, claiming for long COVID.
Say it.
I don't know. We really know exactly what long COVID is right now. The symptoms described are very vague. But however you slice it, disability claims are you know, soaring at a pace we haven't seen before, and they are a big part of that low unemployment rate. And if you just look at labor participation rate, like our country, there's not a lot of people working. We're you know,
and a lot of those that are working aren't working. I mean, have you tried to call customer service lately?
that's a good point. But it is. I think people need to be a little bit more skeptical when they hear politicians, you know, touting these massive job numbers. And if you look at the government's own data, if you go to BLS, the job growth we're expected to experience over the next 10 years is really, really bad. We're looking at maybe 8 million jobs over the next decade, which is way below the 1% annual increase we saw in the previous decade. And you know, for some people, they look at that and they think that's fine. For me, I look at work as a good thing. I think work is good for the human soul. I think it's good for the human spirit. I think it sharpens us and makes us better people. A lot of people just look at work as exploitation, right?
We don't want you working. Yeah, you're a slave now. Now that's a new way of slaving. And really what ought to happen is the government just ought to, you know, hand everybody a check and everybody could just stay home.
If you look on Twitter right now, that's what the buzz is right now. We need universal basic income. We need to go back to just, you know, printing checks for people. I don't think people have, you know, thought about that seriously. We saw what, you know, printing money over the last few years can do. The value of the dollar has been eroded severely. We might be taming into inflation finally a bit now. The value of that is gone. Like, we've seen prices increase 15, 16, 17% on average over the last couple of years. That's not coming back. It might be those, you know, price increases might be slowing down a little bit. But the fact is, your money is worth a lot less today than it was a few years ago.
Well, the irony of all that, too, is that you've got, you know, groups like the World Economic Forum and so on, but you've got all the rating groups, Standard & Poor's and so forth, that are trying to pressure our Congress to raise debt ceilings, to spend more money and create more debt, with threats that basically, if you don't create more debt, then we're going to downgrade your rating. I mean, the logic of that, right? I mean, if you're counseling somebody and they come in and they've got this pile of bills, you don't say to them, well, let's just create more bills. How about that? We'll just create more debt and then you'll be a winner.
Yeah, no, we are. We're addicted to the cheap money. Like, if you go back, this goes back. I don't want to go monetary policy because it bores people to death. It used to bore me to death. But when we got off the gold standard for good in 1971, if you look, everything from inflation to income inequality, everything got worse. And it shows, like, if you look in the history, you know, there's not many countries that had fiat currency and survived it very long, right? Like when you start to have paper money that's not backed by anything, people tend to abuse it, and that's what we're seeing today. We printed about $3 trillion in the space of 18 months. That's why we have inflation. You want to hear people say, "Oh, it's about greed." You know, people suddenly got greedy, corporate greed. No, when you flood the system with money, which is what they did, you are going to experience inflation. How much you experience, you know, depends on a lot of different things. But that is the problem. And inflation, we're, you know, if you look, we're not through it yet. We're going to see more. And we're going to see a lot more if we learn the wrong lessons.
We're back in the bubble, right? I mean, we're right back in the bubble again. But don't you think, John, too, that it's a cultural phenomenon because of the fact that everybody is so disconnected? And then we really have, I mean, I'll bring it back to where we started a little bit, and that is the morality of it, the morals that are associated. I remember Steve Bannon gave a talk, I don't know, it's been about 7 years. He was at an economic forum type meeting, and he talked about capitalism, but he talked about capitalism with no morality. That if there's that if there's no underlining, undergirding morals in a capitalistic system, then you end up with problems because people are cheating all over the place, and there's no morality to keep that, you know, that sense of honesty, that good old handshake that you that you used to be able to count on.
Yeah, no, I think he's right about that. And I'll say this. We've built a culture now on theft where we think it's okay to take people's stuff because you have enough, so we're going to just take more of it. And that's what taxation is. We say we're going to come in and take a certain amount of what you have. That was never the intent. If you look at the philosophy that the country was founded on, that was we were hostile to taxation. The whole American Revolution started as taxes, as governments coming in and say, no, we're going to take that. And those taxes are very minor considering, you know, like when you compare it to what we're looking at today. But we've built a whole society around theft and taxation. And we assume it's going to produce some better society, some greater good. I think that's a flawed assumption. I think people are way too comfortable. We look at it as the moral thing to do. Like, okay, you work and you have enough. We should be able to take more of yours. I think that's why people are less charitable today, too. Like more and more people, their stuff is being taken. Their wealth is being taken. I think, you know, Americans are a charitable people and will give and help others in need. But we need to understand there's a big difference between taking from someone and someone.
And someone voluntarily giving. Well, I think the other part of that, too, is you know, it's on both sides of the scale, because you also have people that are out there that are saying, I'm going to get as much as I can get out of somebody. It doesn't matter what kind of value I give them. It doesn't matter if I give them the service that I've promised them that I'm going to give them. But if I can get them to give me, if I can get them to take, you know, if I can get them to pay it, then I'm going to take it and I'm going to walk off and I'm going to have my big profit margin and be happy. Again, it's not about equality. It's not about spreading the wealth, but it's about, hey, you ought to give the value for what you're worth. They should pay you for what you're worth. You should expect to get what you're worth, but don't gouge. You don't need to gouge.
Yeah, no, I'm not a, when it comes to price gouging, I think that's a really misunderstood term. You know, what you have are prices are subjective. There's no price that says, oh, well, there's the optimal amount you should be, and oh, that's too much profit. You really don't have that. And you know, we've had some pieces recently on Fee about this. Like when Taylor Swift comes to town, people are really upset because prices are going up for goods and services. Suddenly hotel rooms are a lot more expensive. Well, that's how prices work, because you have demand suddenly is way high. And if you don't increase prices, you're not going to have any rooms, and you're going to have people that can't get a room at all. So the good scenario is to let prices rise, and what's going to happen is you're going to be able to conserve hotel rooms. People might be paying a little bit more, but the people that really want a room are going to be able to get a room. So I think language like price gouging is, you know, what you want are people that are going to be able to use their money to get something they want. If the price is too high, what's going to happen? They're going to start buying less of it.
Well, so you're also talking about that the value has gone up. Okay, you know, a neighborhood's value, you know, increases depending on what that community puts into its neighborhood to make the values of those properties worth more. People want to live there because it's a cleaner neighborhood. The houses are well kept. It's more secure. People feel safer on the streets. Well, that's a place you want to live. So the value of that is going to go up accordingly, as it should. Now, by the same token, you got some guy that's a slumlord that's, you know, that keeps bumping the rent. But, you know, all the pipes are leaking. You know, the sewer's backed up. The electricity doesn't turn on. It's kind of a hit and miss kind of a deal. That's not a righteous claim. Now, ultimately, you would hope that, you know, people all move out of that building and he just kind of ends up with an empty building. But
I mean, that tends to be bad. Landlords don't keep tenants very long, right? Like if you're overcharging, if you're not, you know, keeping up, you know, if you have toilets that aren't working, people aren't going to live there very long. I think the best way to keep, you know, landlords that are allowed to raise rents and things, that is the proper mechanism. You know, we had, I live in Minnesota. We had, they tried to place caps on rents up here recently. And what you had first, the developers pulled out of projects, but there's no way to destroy whether it's an apartment or a community faster than trying to control prices, right? We need to let prices work. And yeah, there are some people that might want to take advantage. They're going to try to get more than they should for a place. The good thing is people get to choose. They say, I'm not going to sit here and pay $1,500 a month when you can't even keep up, you know, this place in a way I want to live. So I'm going to go find somewhere else to live. And that is, you know, as far as landlords go, I've had good ones. I've had some that I wasn't a big fan of. But the great part was I was always had the freedom to go somewhere else if I didn't like the deal I had.
Sure. Well, and some of that is dependent on, you know, your economic circumstances. You know, for some folks in certain situations, and going back to, you know, the disability situation, someone that is, you know, legitimately sitting there on a disability type of situation with a fixed income, you know, they're kind of in a tight spot. But I agree with you. I don't think that the answer is more government. But I do think that the answer then comes down to, you know, the municipality. And maybe there is. I mean, if somebody is gouging someone or causing injury or potentially causing harm to someone in such a way, then there's got to be some kind of justice, so to speak.
Yeah, no, I think, and you brought up, you know, that like alluded to fraud or earlier or harm. Absolutely. Yeah. Like if you're causing someone harm, if you're making something unsafe where somebody could be hurt or injured or get sick, if you promise one thing but didn't give that, those are all reasonable grounds for recourse, right?
Like you
those
bet.
Are all you don't you're nothing says that we have to pay for A, even though we ended up getting B and we wanted A, right? That's not how trade works. And we have a lot of things in place that where there is recourse for people who are, you know, swindled or are harmed by a product.
And that's part of our system that you're talking about is where those recourses come from and how that can work. All right, we've about run out of time. Real quick, I pulled up that thing about the about what the Senate is looking to pass, and it's on the National Defense Bill. It's an Undetectable Firearms Act of 1988 that they're trying to reinstitute. And folks, you really need to call your senators and tell them to vote no on the Undetectable Firearms Act. Would you agree with that, John?
Well, I would. I'm not even sure I'm familiar with that legislation, but yeah, they're always trying to do something to say, oh, you can't have this weapon. That this always applies to us, right? They never regulate what they can have. They never say, oh, law enforcement is too well armed, but they're always trying to look at the weapons that we're allowed to keep.
Yep.
And, you know, like I don't like that because you know, there's nothing inherently wrong with firearms. I have several in my home. You probably have some in yours. You can't use those aggressively against someone else. But these are tools for self-defense that are natural rights that are given us. So, yeah, if they're trying to get their hands on our weapons in some other way, trying to go around the back door, absolutely people should alert their local representative and say, no, don't let this thing pass.
Yeah, it's tied into the National Defense Bill, and they're just kind of trying to, you know, it's another way for them to kind of try to hide things through. But it's called the Undetectable. I just had it. Where did I have that? Let me see here.
This is a problem, yeah. Greg. You can't even keep track of this.
Yeah.
There's different legislation.
Undetectable Firearms Act. Undetectable Firearms Act. And 202-224-3121. 202-224-3121. FEE.org is where you can follow John. FEE.org. And he's keeping track of government encroachment, government overreach, and pushing back against it and pushing for free enterprise, and we greatly appreciate that.
Hey, thanks a lot for having me on, Greg. You have a great week.
Thank you very much, sir. I appreciate it. We'll be back. Quick break, and coming up, Leslie Manoukian will be with us coming up right after this brief break. I'm your host, Pastor Greg. You're listening to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits, everything filtered through biblical glasses.
So up next, we have Clan Slight. When you have different things like cancer, cancer and different diseases that are autoimmune related, it can really help with inflammation because you're helping clean the body. And Clean Slate is a formula that's made from a natural orthosilic acid that basically is put into a formulation that's naturally occurring, that uses different processes from polarization to heating to cooling to different types of catalysts, which will go in the body and really help communicate to get rid of those things that don't need to be there. People don't understand why there's so many autoimmune disorders, but our environment's toxic. The land, air, and water have changed. We've been exposed to nuclear war, and the issue is if there's a nuclear bomb or there's pollution or there's war in one country, it actually affects everything up to the stratosphere. So we're all connected, and we've really got to clean things out.
You can pick up your Clean Slate today at cgrforlife.com. That's cgrforlife.com. Pick up your Clean Slate today.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, CEO of MyPillow. Retailers, shopping channels, and now even banks have tried to cancel myself and MyPillow. Well, during these times, your support has meant everything to us. So my employees and I want to personally thank each and every one of you by passing the savings directly on to you. We're selling the best products ever for the best prices ever. For example, we have my standard size MyPillow, regularly $69.98, now only $19.98 with your promo code. Or you can get custom fit with my premium queen size MyPillows, regularly $79.98, now just $29.98. Or my king size regular $89.98, now just $34.98. So go to MyPillow.com now and use the promo code on your screen, or call the 1-800 number below to receive this exclusive offer. If you do it right now, I'm going to include a free gift with your purchase. Thank you and God bless.
Hi, I'm Tim Sheff, a certified natural health practitioner of over 40 years. I want to introduce you to a product that changed my life. The product's called Vibe, available at cgrwellness.com. I thought I was on a good nutritional program before I discovered Vibe. I was taking the traditional vitamin and mineral tablets, wasn't really feeling any different. So I tried Vibe. Vibe is an all-in-one vitamin and mineral supplement. It's a liquid multivitamin. It's cold-pressed, whole-food sourced, non-radiated, gluten-free, and has no pasteurization. Vibe is like fresh juicing without all the work. It supports four areas of the body: cardiovascular health, immune health, anti-aging, and healthy cell replication. Vibe is available in a 32-ounce bottle for home use or a very handy 1-ounce travel packet for life on the go. The first time I tried Vibe, I had more energy in about 20 minutes. I started thinking clear, even believe I slept better. Get yours today at cgrwellness.com. Coupon code CHOSENGENRADIO at checkout and receive $20 off your first order of $50 or more. That's cgrwellness.com. Coupon code CHOSENGENRADIO. Get yours today.
These statements have not been evaluated by the U.S. Food and Drug Administration. Neither products do not treat, reduce, cure, or prevent disease.
My passion is the fight for freedom. My father fought for in World War II defending our country. Today, we are no longer fighting with guns. Instead, we are fighting an ideological battle for control of our country by contributing to causes that support your constitutional rights. I am Patriot Mobile.
You can support Chosen Generation and make a tax-deductible donation by visiting www.chosengenerationradio.com. And now, back to Chosen Generation with Pastor Greg.
And welcome back to Chosen Generation Radio, where no topic is off limits and everything is filtered through biblical glasses. Thanks so much for being here. I know you have a choice on where you can listen each and every day, and I thank you for keeping it tuned here to Chosen Generation Radio. Well, I'm very pleased to welcome my next guest to the program. She is fighting for health freedom, and it is, it's quite the battle. I want to welcome to the program Leslie Manoukian. Leslie, welcome. Good to have you. Thanks for being here.
So great to be with you this morning. Thank you so much for having me.
They are they're bringing back the masks. They've already started. They've been warning and threatening and telling us that get ready because this fall, boy, it's all gonna hit and we're just gonna all be sorry if we didn't get a vax. And don't look over here where poor Bronny James just had a heart attack, which is terrible, and nobody's gloating over it. Nobody's excited that it happened. We certainly are hopeful that somebody with a platform, and I really don't, I mean, I don't watch the NBA because of LeBron James, quite frankly, but anyway, but hopefully, he would maybe wake up and realize that there's a problem here.
Well, it's interesting because LeBron James, well, first of all, he doesn't strike me as a terribly principled person. I just have to say that. And I say that because he made some comment about China, critical of China. And then I'm sure because China, the NBA is huge in China, he backed down and he qualified that, you know, walked it back, right? He clearly knows who butters his bread. And what's really interesting about these COVID-19 shots is that he actually expressed some skepticism about them early on. Mm-hmm. But part of the way through this, he said that he thinks the shot is right for him, suited for him and his friends and family, and he encouraged people to get it, I think is what he said, something along those lines.
Yep. Yeah. And, well, he got chastised by Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, and then at that point said, "Oh well, yeah, I guess you know Kareem's right, and everybody should get this," which is, you know, I even wonder honestly. I mean, it's been evidenced that there were placebo shots that were given. And I have to wonder if somebody like a Kareem didn't get a placebo shot as opposed to actually getting the shot itself. We don't know, but I've had Peter McCullough on the program several times. I've had Dr. Judy Mikovits a whole bunch of times. Dr. Sherry Tenpenny has been on with me. Dr. Syed Haidler, Dr. Brian Hooker from the Children's Defense. Good friends and great people and truth tellers.
Yeah, 100%. Listen, we cannot say definitively that Bronny James suffered cardiac arrest. Let's be clear. His heart stopped. That's what a cardiac arrest is. His heart stopped. We cannot say definitively that that's what caused his heart to stop, that the shot did this, because we don't know for sure that he actually received the shot. But what we do know is that LeBron encouraged, said that it was suited for his friends and family. We do know that 2/3 of teenagers in California got the shot. We do know that in the wealthy enclaves where the James family lives, it's higher than 2/3 of the kids who got the shot. And kids who didn't get the shot were ostracized and excluded from social activities and all sorts of things, sports and things. So we don't know for sure, but I mean, it's fairly likely, I would have to say. I know a lot of young people just wanted to get it so that they wouldn't be excluded. And this is a kid who I think, I mean, listen, he's going to be in, you know, go to the NBA, that he's going to want to be able to avail himself of all the opportunities out there. And absent the shot, he wouldn't be able to. It's very, very, it's much more difficult. So I think it's probable, but we don't know that for sure. What we do know for sure is that the shots cause, most likely in his age group, so we have to understand this, that the shots cause cardiac arrest, heart symptoms, myocarditis, pericarditis, and other heart complications, most likely, or the age group they occur most frequently in, are young males aged like 15 to 29 or 25, somewhere in there. Mm-hmm. So he is right smack in the middle of the age group where they're most likely to have this kind of a complication. And so, I mean, it's very, very probable. We cannot dismiss it, and we need to be having this conversation. So let's not tiptoe around and pretend that this is not a possibility, and let's not deride Elon Musk for stating that it might be a possibility, because it is an elephant in the room and it needs to be addressed.
And it needs to be addressed because this is a major public health issue. And, you know, it's interesting because the more that the documents come out, you know, Naomi Wolf has been doing a lot of investigation into the documents. The more the documents come out, the more, I mean, you know, if you're watching that, of course, I was talking with my previous guest about a meme that I saw where the guy is going, yeah, hey, you know, the big news. There's aliens. We got aliens now. We got evidence that there's probably aliens. Oh, and by the way, Hunter Biden, pled not guilty, but there's aliens. But we need to focus on the aliens. It's the same thing with this, right? You know, let's focus on the aliens because we don't want to talk about the fact that they're injecting, you know, alien serum into our bodies that's causing massive problems, and that their own data, you know, Pfizer and Johnson & Johnson, all their own data, their own studies showed, hey, yeah, there's issues here. There's problems here.
Pastor Greg, let's be clear. FDA admits it's now a part of the, you know, packaging and the package insert that these shots elevate heart complications, in particular in young people. It's not just the clinical data, which they tried to suppress. Let's not forget that they tried to suppress it, and not Pfizer. The FDA tried to suppress it. Yeah. But now they have been forced to acknowledge, CDC has been forced to acknowledge that these shots elevate heart complications, that they elevate clotting. And, you know, I don't know if you know this, but in the last week, we had Jamie Foxx come out and say, basically announce that he's alive after a strange hospital stay and some strange illness. It sounds like maybe he had a stroke or something, and he's got indications in his facial musculature that he may have had a stroke. 2 days, I think one day after that, Tori Kelly, who's a Hollywood singer, came out and said she collapsed at dinner with clots to her vital organs. Clotting is another acknowledged side effect of these shots.
Yep. And sudden death shows us that. Foom, sudden death. Yep.
Yes. And then 2 days after that, there's a guy named, Shaka Hislop. He was an English soccer player.
Yeah.
And he was commentating live for a game somewhere in the United States on television and collapsed in the middle of the commentation and hit his co-commentator as he fell down. And then the next day or the day after, Bronny James, this happens. And be clear, this is the second basketball player at USC in a year. Last July, it happened to another basketball player. Same thing, cardiac arrest, taken to the hospital, ICU. I think he took a week or something before he was released. Bronny James seems to be, he was released from the ICU sometime overnight. Mm-hmm. So, you know, in a stable condition. I don't know how long he'll be in the hospital. I don't know if he's still in the hospital, but you can't just write this off as a coincidence, in particular when you've got all these other things happening, like elevations in breast cancer. Have you seen this? The latest is that 24 to 29-year-olds in Britain, there's 174% increase in breast cancer amongst that age group. That age group doesn't get breast cancer. Right. What is causing this? Right. We cannot pretend that we have not done something which atypically manipulates our immune system.
Well, I don't know if you've seen the research that Thomas Haviland did. Thomas Haviland is a gentleman who took on the challenge of going to, the Undertakers, that are talked about in Sudden Death, and interviewing. You know, he attempted to interview all 800 of them, and he has. And I've had him on my show twice now, but he has a preponderance of evidence of these strands that they are pulling out of people who have died, and they're clots. They're giant clots.
And they're not only clots, but they're not a blood clot. They're these rubbery, strange consistency, whitish. No one knows exactly what they are, what's in them, or how they came to be. It's not a natural clot,
a natural phenomenon, right?
No, and some of them are going from like your ankle from the ankle all the way up to the groin. I mean, we're talking 2-3 foot clots of this strange, bizarre, rubbery material that they cannot identify. They don't know what it is. It's not the same composition of the blood that is surrounding in it. So it's something that foreign. Is accumulating in the blood and forming and causing clotting, basically blocking the flow of blood in the human body and then causing this whole myriad complications. And there's no explanation for it.
No, absolutely none. Absolutely none. And so I guess then the question, Leslie, becomes, you know, how do we fight back against this? Because, you know, I know you have been, you know, put under attack by this. I was banned on YouTube, banned on Twitter, banned on LinkedIn, banned on Vimeo, for life on all of these platforms for talking about, you know, two of the major issues that I talked about were the vax and the implications of the vax and what it does and how it injures and so on and the science behind it. And then, of course, the election issue. There's no such thing as free speech right now. But you are attacked by these entities and others if you speak out about this.
You very much are. You know, I made an award-winning documentary on vaccines many years ago, came out in 2011. It's called The Greater Good. You can see it at greatergoodmovie.org. What's interesting is when I made that film, I was being routinely, my phone had been tapped. I would be on the phone and I would hear men's voices in the background right before I would begin an interview. Mm. And then the interviewer would say, "Leslie, do you hear those voices?" And I would say, "I sure do." And then you would hear silence, mute. They pushed the mute button.
Right.
So I went on our server and deleted all of my emails going back years. I didn't even know how to get on our server. All these things have happened. And let's just say that I'm getting more and more concerned. You know, our organization is the organization that filed the lawsuit to stop the federal travel mask mandate. You don't have to wear a mask on an airplane or a train or a bus anymore because right. of us. And yes, free speech is under attack, but it's not just free speech. It's everything it means to be an American. Bodily autonomy. There is strong case law, like super definitive case law in the last 60 years, which upholds your right to bodily autonomy by the Supreme Court. This case law is by the Supreme Court. There is something called Cruzon versus Director. A young woman was in a car crash in 1990, I believe, and her parents wanted to take her off of life support. And the hospital said, "She doesn't have a living will. We can't do that." It went all the way to the Supreme Court. And the Supreme Court said that you have the right to refuse medical treatments, even if it might save your life. There was another case where a couple wanted to use contraceptives in their bedroom, and the Supreme Court said Connecticut prohibited it. It was illegal in the 1950s to use condoms. And the Supreme Court said, you know, we're not going to go into people's bedrooms and police whether or not they use condoms. You have a zone of privacy around your body into which the state cannot intrude. So that's another one. That was Griswold versus Connecticut. And then there was, what's it called? I forget the other one. There was another one that said that you can have the right to refuse life-extending medical intervention. So there's more to it than this. We have all of these rights, and we're being denied these rights because under the pretext of public health. And the reason that they're saying that they have the power to do this is from a lawsuit back in 1905 called Jacobson versus Massachusetts. Jacobson versus Massachusetts revolved around smallpox, which kills 30 to 40% of those who get sick.
Okay.
And what was believed to be a safe and effective vaccine, which we now know wasn't the case, but that's what the Supreme Court believed. And the Supreme Court said, oh, you can, a city or a municipality, a small area in an extreme emergency like smallpox can mandate the shot or fine citizens who choose not to take it. They fine them the equivalent of about $130, I think, in today's dollars. They didn't say that the state had the right to plunge a needle into your arm. They didn't say that the state had the right to muzzle you and prevent you from speaking. But we are fighting this in a huge case against the Los Angeles Unified School District, who to this day is still displacing and firing employees who don't get the shot to this day.
Right, right.
So this is a huge case. So yes, freedom of speech is huge. What shocks me the most, well, you asked initially, how do we fight this? Mm-hmm. I believe you fight this in the court of public opinion. You fight this in lawsuits. So we keep speaking out. We do not stop. We do not self-censor. And we keep fighting in the courts. And so that's what we're doing. That's why we brought the mask case. That's why we brought this case against LAUSD. This is why we brought two other cases against the Biden administration. And we keep fighting because you know why? Judges have woken up to the reality and they don't want this dystopian future that's being foisted right. upon them and their children and their grandchildren. And I think they have awoken to what's going on. Their fear has kind of dissipated. Mm-hmm. And now they're saying, wait a second, what direction is this country going in? And do we want this? Don't we believe in freedom of expression of religion? Don't we believe in freedom of of speech, don't even believe in freedom of assembly, and so they're fighting back. And I think the courts are starting to sway in our favor, and I think that's a really positive development. So I think you fight back by supporting organizations like us and like you who are educating people about what is really going on.
Well, and this fight over the right to be able to direct your loved one's medical care in these facilities is huge. I know that I can't remember his first name now, but Mr. Shara is, you know, filing lawsuits. Yes, Scott. Yeah, Scott Shara is filing lawsuits with regards to this issue. I ran into that. They killed my father-in-law predicated on that. Because they said, we met with a death panel and they said, well, this is what we're going to do. And we said, no, this is what we want you to do. And this was right here in Texas, and it was under Texas law, not even under Obamacare. It was under Texas law. I mean, I told you, you know, when we came in about my severe accident, and I know for a fact that if my congressman, and who at the time was Lamar Smith, who I had gotten to know, had not taken a personal interest in my case, even showing up in ICU and making the hospital aware that he was monitoring what was going on, I might well not be here today, quite frankly.
Yeah, well, the same thing happened to my father-in-law. The hospital systems in Idaho were saying that they didn't have any beds, any ICU beds, any COVID beds. We got to the ICU, or we got to the COVID wing. Less than half the rooms were taken. Less than half. They had a staffing issue because they had fired people who would not actually take the shot. Hundreds of employees in the state of Idaho. But yes, it is state law in many cases. And the other thing is there was a handcuff on them as well, because the CDC said if you deviate from CDC protocols, then you have liability.
Yeah.
But if you adhere to CDC protocols, then you are protected under the PREP Act. So my husband had full medical, full power of attorney for his father. And they refused everything that we asked. In fact, they wouldn't speak to us. It was unbelievable what happened.
I'm sure.
It was shocking. So
I got you. Go ahead.
You should have someone named Representative, or is he a state senator? Alexander Collodin. He's an attorney. He's been an attorney for HFD.
Get me his information, and we'll be happy to bring him on. Yeah. I've had Thomas Renz.
He just got a law passed in the state of Arizona that protects patients' rights in the event, in this kind of a situation, to push back.
Yeah, get me his information, and I'll see. Maybe Jeff Zink might know him as well, because he does a lot of – he's in Arizona. He ran for Congress down there. And then I had Carrie Lake was on the program as well just recently. But I've had Thomas Renz on the program as well, who's been fighting this whole thing and has testified before Senator Johnson. This is a major battle. In 2020, I got COVID virus, severe. I mean, major, the sweats, the chills, the shortness of breath. I ended up with COVID, double pneumonia, and coughing up blood. But I told my doctor, I sleep in a hospital bed because of the injuries that I had. Everything that I would have in a hospital, essentially, I have at home, other than whatever medication you're going to prescribe for me. And I immediately went on to the protocol that was recommended by Dr. Judy Mikovits. So I go on to the natural protocol. He gave me dexamethasone. He gave me an antibiotic, and then he gave me the breathers, and I came through it, and I came through it, staying at home. And a couple of months later, I was in his office, and he said, you know, you were right, because if I'd sent you to the hospital, they would have killed you.
Yeah. Listen, the protocols were deadly. Remdesivir was a drug that failed its clinical trials in treating Ebola. 54% of the people, I think, or 53% of the people on the clinical trial died. So they stopped the clinical trial for Ebola, which is far more dangerous than COVID. And then, of course, ventilating people kills, I think, roughly 89-90% of people who are ventilated. I mean, it's a death sentence. Those two things alone were I'm sorry, but they were sentences.
They were. Yeah.
I'm trying to be, you know.
No. You're perfectly fine. Well, you know what? We have a friend of ours who is working because her husband, they denied her the right to be able to, get her husband assistance. And her husband died. Her husband passed away. They killed her husband. And she has been going, you know, with a number of the other women that are going around the country that are speaking, that are talking, that are raising awareness, that are sharing the horror that they personally endured as a result of these things. And folks, we can't let this die and not pay attention to it, because the other piece to this is what they're doing to your freedom. They literally, without instituting martial law, they used fear to get a large portion of our nation to stay indoors, don't go out, don't shop, don't go to restaurants, don't leave your house, and they shut churches down, and many pastors succumbed to the fear and closed their doors at a time when any time in the past, even with the plagues that took place, church doors were wide open. That's where you went. You went to the church. You were suffering. You were struggling. You were hurting. You went to the church and the churches were open and they provided care. And they had nurses in the churches. They had people there to provide not only spiritual assistance, but medical care as well.
What you mentioned is the most alarming thing, but even that's starting to shift. So In Moscow, Idaho, where I live in Idaho, and in Moscow, Idaho, several congregation members were arrested for not wearing masks, even though they were outside and physically distancing. I don't like to call it socially because there was nothing social about it, but they were physically distanced and they were arrested. And people were like, you're really going to take these people away and arrest them? And they did. But you know what? They just got awarded $300,000, I think, $300,000 or $400,000.
Awesome.
It's shifting. And this is why it's so important that we keep fighting in the courts.
Amen. My daughter was in Twin Falls during all of this.
Oh, really? That's an hour and a half for me.
Yep. She was down in Twin Falls, and the deliverance ministry that I'm a part of is just outside of Boise. That's where they're headquartered.
Oh, I didn't know that. Well, my father-in-law was in the hospital in Twin Falls.
Oh, wow.
Yes,
wow. Oh, I'm sure. It's everywhere. That's the problem. It's everywhere.
And perhaps the most frightening part of all of this is, now, in the last 4 or 5 years, we've seen a shift such that most Democrats actually believe that it's government's position to censor misinformation, quote unquote misinformation. Right. Now, you and I both know that misinformation isn't misinformation. It's information that conflicts with the official narrative. It's not bad. It's not wrong. It's truth.
Right.
But they don't like it.
We got 1 minute. Less than 1 minute. Yeah. Well, okay, go ahead. Final.
I was gonna say, you know, listen, we've got only a minute left. So can I just say, listen, folks, we are fighting for your rights. We're trying to, preserve the American ideals that most of us hold so dear. So please, go and join our newsletter. Please sign up to be a member. It's only $10. Please donate if you're so inclined. You can do so at healthfreedomdefense.org. Learn about our work there and all the lawsuits. We filed over a dozen lawsuits in the last couple of years, and we're working to protect your rights, and we have won a bunch of them. So
healthfreedomdefense.org, healthfreedomdefense.org. And you can also go to the site on the screen, Leslie Manoukian, and go and support what they're doing there, folks. So critically important. Leslie Manoukian. And that's Manoukian with two O's. And you can support what she's doing as well. Leslie, God bless you. Thanks for being with me. Hang tight for just a second. We're going to take a quick break. We come back. Lipton Matthews joins me on the other side. I'll be back with more Chosen Generation Radio. Hour number two straight ahead.